SourceTrunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 8, recorded on Monday the 13th of November 2006. This podcast will try to demystify the beautiful beast that is open source and show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking a random open source project and review it. I'll be drinking a Cine Brown with this episode, and it's a very young beer. It started in 1978, which is very young for beer standards. And apparently I have to pour it in a glass that hasn't been rinsed, so a dry glass. Normally that gives a lot of foam, but this one gives just a nice top. Just what we need. The cuvée de Cine Brune was drawn for the first time in a pub, Rubens, and that is underneath the church tower of the village of Cine, in the French part of Belgium, the Walloons. Roger Demarche, he designed the beer and traveled the region with his barrels. And it became a great success. And then, like it is often with good local beers, it was completely bought by a big brewery, in this case, Alkenmaas. It's a high fermentation beer, 7% alcohol. I'm going to taste it now. Well, it is described as a fruity flavor and a mild bitterness and a very mild aftertaste. And yeah, that's it. I forgot to mention something about the beer I drank in the last episode, Orval, and that is the astonishing fact that the benefits, the profits they make out of the beer are, of course, put in the brewery itself, but the rest is completely donated to charity. So a common joke when we went out and when the bartender didn't want to give us any more Orvals because we were like too happy, too joyful, we'd always say that, come on, it's for charity, for crying out loud, give us some more Orvals. And sometimes, well, we got away with it. So Orval does it really for charity purposes. They're a monastery. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
Sound Juicer. Now, I still use an OS X laptop for my work, and sometimes I use it for private purposes as well. And one of the things I do is I rip my own CDs to play them while being away. Now, I always do this with iTunes, and I must say, ripping CDs with iTunes, in my opinion, is a hog. And when the CDs are already scratched or not in good shape, well, iTunes can really completely freeze on the CDs, and you have to do a lot of stuff to keep your machine from not going down with it. So that's it. I'm done with iTunes for my ripping purposes. I wanted something clean, small, stable on a Linux distribution, for example. And I found SoundJuicer, which is, according to the website, clean, mean, and lean CD ripper for the GNOME environment. Now, it depends on GStreamer, where we will do an episode on GStreamer, but when you use the application, you don't see anything about GStreamer. It will extract the audio from compact discs, and it will convert them to audio files. For example, MP3, ogvorbis, of course, FLAC, and some uncompressed PCM formats that are the pulse code modulation formats. Now, it doesn't only extract the audio from the compact discs, it will also give the necessary metadata, the necessary data to the files. So when you read them with a music player, it will see which artist it is, which year it's from, which album, and so on, and so on, and so on. It will retrieve all this information from the Music Brains service. So it's impossible for an application to have a complete list of all the different CDs in it. So it will retrieve it via the internet. Now, this information from Music Brains is something worth elaborating a bit on. What is Music Brains? Before we continue with SoundJuicer, Music Brains is a community music metadatabase. You can find them on musicbrains.org, brains with a Z, Music Brains. And there on the site, you can search information about very, very much CDs, a lot of albums. I think almost all the albums are concentrated there. Or you can build or download clients which connect to it and then retrieve all the information via a sort of fingerprinting, audio fingerprinting mechanism. Now, any CD player program, for example, can use Music Brains to identify the CDs and provide information about the CD, the artist, or other info. Now, also, you can use the Music Brains tagger to completely rework your digital music collection. So, for example, you have a digital music collection, but you didn't have a program which would put metadata in it. You can use the Music Brains tagger software for it. Now, I'll give you some statistics about the sites, about the number of artists and so on, which are on the sites, and they're amazing. 274,678 artists. 400,000 releases, 5 million tracks, 340,000 links, 180 disc IDs, edits, 3,900,000 edits. Now, it is not only a compact disc metadata storehouse. It's more than that. It tries to make relationships between the different works. It tries to make it possible to link different artists to each other. And you really have to check out the site, musicbrains.org, if you're interested in music at all, if you're interested in what a community-based site can do with all that information, if you are interested in open sound, then you really have to check it out. Now, this show is not about Music Brains, it's about AudioJuicer. But since AudioJuicer uses it, I thought it was worth mentioning. Okay, SoundJuicer. When you start it, it is a very simple window. It just has, when you insert a CD, it will give you the title, the artist, the genre, and it will give you all the tracks, as I said, all the information it got from the internet, from Music Brains. And then you can choose to completely rip the CD, completely put all the tracks to your hard drive. The window is really simplistic. That's it. Nothing more than that. And that's really the only thing it should do. When you go to the preferences, the only preferences you can change are what your CD drive is. You can have multiple CD drives in your machine, and then you have to choose the right one for it. What your music folder is. Maybe you have a dedicated music folder. You want all the music to go in that folder. And then, very interesting, you can choose the folder hierarchy. How the folders should be created. For example, you can make album artist and then album title. Or you can make track artist and album title, or only the album title. Or you want to have only the album artist and all the songs in that directory, you can choose it without a problem. The next thing you can choose of is the output format. Now, a friend of mine used SoundJuicer for a while without checking out what the output would be, and he had written everything in AUG, the open source format. While I was cheering him, I was saying, wow, you're turning over to AUG, you're supporting the AUG format. He was completely raving about the fact that he didn't have an AUG player, and so he had to redo the whole his whole imported music directory, which isn't too hard because there are open source tools for it. But he was pissed off. He didn't want to use AudioJuicer again because it was only AUG supported, and that's not true. You can use and make MP3 format as well without a problem, because when you edits the profiles in the output format, you can just as easily make a profile for MP3 format, and then you just have to put in the GStreamer pipeline, which is a preference, what GStreamer would do, what the options are to make MP3 files. If you want the exact GStreamer pipeline, I would suggest you go to the site of SoundJuicer, or you just Google for GStreamer pipeline MP3 SoundJuicer. But if you would be willing, you could just make the switch now and just import your files in the open source standard, which is ARG Formats. If you can switch to ARG, if you have a complete database in MP3, convert it to ARG. It's a better format and it's complete open. Try it out. Okay, a wish list, some negative aspects about this software. Now, negative, no, it's just what it is. It's very good. It handles all my CDs, which are really scratched without a problem. I had only one CD, which is really, really, really very badly damaged, which made the program completely lock up. But that's normal. No negative aspects. But if you would be willing to contribute to the project, you can always check out the Bugzilla feature requests from SoundJuicer, and you can help the author out. The author is Ross Burton. Availability? Yep, sorry Windows people, it's Linux only. This is POSIX, it needs GNOME 2 and it needs the GStreamer software. Latest release is 2.16.1. I think this one was off the 1st of October. And you can get it at www.bertonini.com/blog/computers/sound-juicer. Okay. The links are, as always, in the show notes on sourcetrunk.com, because this one you won't be able to reproduce in your browser. The license is GNU General Public License. You can support this if you want to. On his site of SoundJuicer, he has stated that, do you want to help the developer save for the deposit on a house? You can help. And then you have a little support button where you can add some funds for his deposit on a house. So if you want to support him and if you love the program, please do so. Send bug reports to the man. And if you're a coder, try out Bugzilla feature requests for SoundJuicer. Nice little program. Okay, back to the Cinebrune, which is still at a good temperature and still tasting very nice. Okay.
The little extra.
Blat. Blat is a Windows command line utility. Yes, you Windows people out there, you have your little utility that works under your system, and it sends email using the SMTP, or you can post to Usenet using NNTP. Now, this one is especially handy for the Windows environment, because in Unix or Unix flavors, you have the mail command, where you can do a lots of stuff with, where you can easily make scripts to automate sending of mail. Now, while Blat is not a replacement for the mail command, you can do much of the same stuff with it. I'll give you an example. You can mail quickly something to someone without having to open your mail client, just by typing in Blat and all the other arguments you need to send a little mail. Sysadmins could use this to use scripts to have little demons mail you when your server is going down or when some things are not going as expected. Or you can have your mother click a link and it will mail the IP address of that machine to you, so you can take it over via VNC, for example. A lot of stuff you can do with a little command line emailer. Now, what not to use it for, and this is explicitly from the site, please do not use Blat for UCE, that's unsolicited commercial email, or spam. And I think all of you know what spam is, or at least if you look it up, you will definitely recognize what spam is. For those of you who would want, who are looking for software for, let's say, commercial emailing, if you want to put it that way, then there is better software out there to do this. And there is a lot of software in the open source department where you can not only send your mail, send your mass mailings out to people who want this, of course, but it also can give you error recognition, mails that bounce, you can have website control, what did people click on in the mail, and so on and so on. Don't use Blab for this. It's unprofessional and you shouldn't be using this for, let's call it commercial emailing, and definitely not for unsolicited commercial emailing. You can use it also for some not so really good practices, really black hat practices like the hacksaw. If you watch Hack.5, which is a very good vidcast about everything hacking, then you would have seen Blat being used in the hacksaw program, which can send confidential information to your email address by using a little USB thumb drive. This is really black hat purposes. This is really nasty stuff. So yes, people use Blat, of course, for that as well. Some features. Like I said, you can just fire up Blat, which is just a little tiny executable, and then put in the arguments to whom the mail is destined to. You can put subject lines in it, and then you can just put the file, the text file that has to be sent, and instantly it will send it to the right SMTP server. You can put in the SMTP server as well, or you can install Blat that it will put the SMTP server in, I think, your registry, and then you can just use it on and on and on. In my opinion, this is the stuff you need for your own purposes on your desktop, or especially on your servers, on your Windows servers. This is the stuff you want, just a little executable. It doesn't stand in the way of big processes. It doesn't take a lot of space in. It doesn't need to be installed. You just can put it somewhere. And if it doesn't work like expected, you just throw it away without even damaging the server. Check out the site for all the argument syntax you can use. Like I said, there is a lot. Some negative aspects about this software. Now, well, okay, it could be used for malicious purposes, but hey, any advanced technology can be used for malicious purposes. This is just standard internet protocol being used here, and okay, it can be used for something malicious, but it's not intended in any way. The authors are Pedro Mendes and Mark Neal, and after October 1998 it's especially Tim Charin and Gilles Volant who took over, and a lot of contributors to the code. Now, where did the name Blat come from? I'm grabbing this from the site. There is no real reason for calling it Blat. Actually, I wanted to call it Blat mainly because Pedro thought it was a ridiculous name. And then because we could say things like, I'm just going to blat off quick email to, etc. That's Mark Neal who said this. So that's really cool to name your software that is practically being used on a lot of professional servers, I guess, and just call it Blat. Very good. Availability, only Windows executable supporting systems. Latest release is Blat version 2.5.0, and the build is from September 14, 2005. You can get it from blat.net. This is public domain. The source code is available. How to support it? Well, you can send your bug fixes, or you can contact the authors to help in the development of Blat. Okay, some listener feedback. I got some feedback from Mathieu Fertré, which is one of the Warmux developers. He was really motivated by the review. That's the stuff that gets them going, it appears. He had a small remark. The iMod version, you know, the version of Warmux on a cell phone, is not official at all and will probably never be. So they are really going to drop that one from the development cycle. I got a mail from Scott Cunningham, I think he was from Seattle, and he thanked me for the reviews. He really found them useful, and he was able via the review to combine two of his hobbies, being a new Linux user and being a home brewer. Well, I'm glad it's the combination works for you. He enjoys the music and he hopes there will be a lot of episodes. Now, he had a question because I mentioned the fact that a lot of people can be supported, a lot of communities can be supported in the open source world. He asked me if there was a preferred method for supporting me in this little project. And I only could say to him, well, there is just one thing you can do, and it is to get the word out that this podcast is there and help people with open source. Get the word out about open source in general. Like I said, get your neighbor to drop his ridiculous amounts of money he is putting into proprietary software and get him to use, instead of a cracked version of Photoshop, give him the GIMP and let him try out the 10% he'll only be using of that program for free, for nothing, and he even can donate $5 to thank the developers. Get people to use open source. That would be really cool. Thanks for the mail. Okay, let's wrap this up. Leave your comments on sourcetrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcetrunk@gmail.com. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin, and it's called Freight Train. I'm leaving you with a very nice Time Will Tell by Ruby Shoes. Shoes, I think. Thanks for your time and good hunting. Sometimes I think I'm right, sometimes I think I'm wrong, sometimes I think too much, sometimes I think too long. Understatement is that I'm a mess. Dream about you, but I must confess, I'm not just too lonely. Don't want to think about the time when songs about fantasy I had about some guy I saw when I was out. Is it just another of my stupid games? Dream and wander till I go insane because I'm lonely. Time will tell if you're only a dream. If not, then why don't you come up to me? Looking at me that way, making me crazier, driving me insane. I wanna reach out and pull you through. I'd be yours forever if you want me to, because I want you. Ooh. Well, I've been obsessive and I've been naive, yeah. I built it up and now I cannot breathe. I may be crazy, but I because you want me to. Don't have to be.